they increase that fight or flight response in your brain, and it causes the same fight or flight response as you would if you were being threatened in real life.
Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
I am overwhelmed and frazzled right now. We have been running crazy, and I don't know about, you know, I used to think that in my golden years, which I don't have any golden years. We don't have golden years. They're all golden. But I thought as my kids got older, you know, maybe I would feel less tired. I think I'm feeling more tired because there's just a lot of stuff going on. You know, Ben's right next door, so he's working on his deck. So we're kind of trying to do that. We had a good Easter. Did the big Easter egg hunt in our yard. 165 eggs, and I found a couple of one I mowed. I started mowing grass on Monday because it was a nice sunny day, and so I had to change the oil and get the mower ready because, you know, we have a wedding in August. I have to be cutting the grass like every 45 minutes from now until August the 24th. So we've done that. I'm getting ready to go to Massachusetts, you know, that place. In a little while, we drive down to Indianapolis and stay with my parents and leave. My flight leaves at 5:30 in the morning. I've never flown out that early. I didn't even think they went that early. So we fly out at 5:30 in the morning for the whole weekend. And
all
Sam,
those overachievers.
That's right.
Like highly successful business people that
exactly
have lots of work to do. I don't know what that's like.
Do you have like a 12:30 flight? Yeah. You know. Can you wake me? And Sam, I don't know if I said it last time. No, I know I didn't because it wasn't official. He officially has his house. Woo! Woo. So we're super excited. So we got it on maybe Thursday or Friday. Friday. They closed on Friday. We all went over Friday and we emptied out three gigantic trailers full of trash. I don't mean like, I mean piled high. Just gobs of trash, you know, just gobs and gobs of junk. Nothing, you know, hardly worth saving. They're going to scrap, you know, for scrap metal, some of it, a couple hundred bucks worth probably of just stuff. We gutted the entire house. I mean, like down to the studs, basement and whatever. By the next day, we had ripped out one of the walls that was down in the basement, had replaced it, put a window and a new window and a door in it. And
are you shooting footage for your reality show of how to demolish and rebuild houses?
So we cut down all the trees around the house. It's a little tiny house. It's, I think, like 14 by 40. So, you know, 800 square feet. About 800 square feet. It's got a basement, two levels. But it's basically like doing two decent sized rooms. But we're moving the stairs, and then my family man-in-law, he's putting in new plumbing. We're moving all the plumbing around. It's going to be all new electrical. And so, and it only cost $11,000. So it's just amazing. It's amazing. In fact, the day after he moved in, the neighbor came over and said, I'll give you $20,000 for it right now. And so my son was pretty excited about that, but of course he didn't sell. And so it's just like super busy. Or I've been spending the last 2 hours cleaning up the barn because we've got books everywhere. We've got t-shirts. We've got the new Family Man shirt for 2019. It's out. It's going to be in time for Father's Day. You're going to kind of want to be looking for that. We don't even have it up on our website yet. But I'll be showing you that soon. We got a bunch of the Family Man hats that some of you have. We've sold out, so they're going fast. So we just got a new shipment of those, and I had books to put away, and it's just crazy. My kids are so amazing. My older boys, Ike, who's getting married, he is like buying and sell. He's like a buying and selling horse trader. We have this place that sells Amazon returns on a pallet. You know, a store near us, they sell it dirt cheap. I mean, they sell it for $6 on Friday. Everything on Friday is $6. Everything's $2 on, I might be off, it might be $2 on Saturday and $1 on Sunday. And they bought, well, I had one, my oldest son, Ben, he bought a Mont Blanc pen for $6 and he sold it for $350.
Wow.
And they're doing this all the time. They're buying, but Ben just told me, and this is like, FYI, he got scammed yesterday. He bought some kind of SD card this gamers use, you know, on the computers. He bought it for $20 and he sold it for $600. And he bought two of them and he sold one for like $300 because it was a little different. But the $600, and he knew it was worth $600. And so he went and he sold it. And then the guy paid right away. And then like the next day, a different guy said, but he didn't realize he thought it was the same guy. He said, hey, could you send me that SD card to a different number, a different address than I did on eBay? And Ben said, sure, because it was already paid for. And he sent it. And then the guy then writes back like 2 or 3 days later, hey, I didn't get it. You sent it off to somewhere in, well, it's the same guy. I mean, basically he created another account. And then, cause he only had like no reviews on either one. I mean, he didn't have any items. So basically he's jipping my son out of so he's got to probably get his $600 back. Cause eBay's going to make him and he'll get the $600 SD card for free. And my son, Ben, lost his $20 and the hopes of, and his $600 item that he no longer has. Mm-hmm. So it's just really a bummer. It's really a bummer, but that's part of it. One of my sons bought Sam bought a whole bunch of little micro SD cards. Mm-hmm. He bought them for $6 and he thought they were worth like 40 or 50. So he was going to, but he bought a whole bunch of them and he put the first one in, it didn't work. He put the second one in, it didn't work. And then my other son decided he was going to open it up and he opened it up and they were empty inside.
Yikes.
So somebody was scamming and, you know, so these are, so now my son Ike, who's 24, he's buying these, from a site that's called something liquidation. And so he buys a bunch of something. He has like a bunch of, really cool Amazon earphones that he bought, you know, bought 10 of them. All because they're all returns for some reason. And then he's planning to sell them. But it's kind of cool to watch your kids do that. So all that to say, I'm piled with stuff and junk. And my wife heard her back yesterday, was in bed for like most of the day because she'd been lifting things and moving books and helping over at Sam's house. And I think she just had a muscle spasm. And so I'm also nursing her back to health. So it's just busy.
Listening to you, man.
I am. Scott, do you have anything to add? Because we've got a special guest today. Anything exciting in your life?
Nope.
My brother Kent, for you. My brother Kent was anticipating that answer, Scott.
I have a whole bunch of stuff I could say, but we got a guest, so okay. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Well, let's get our guest here. Well, Scott, we got a special guest with us today. We talked to him about, I think, 2 years ago, maybe. We're talking to Michael Prince from becausefamily.org or Safe Families, or maybe you should tell us who you're with, Michael.
Sure. Yeah. It's becausefamily.org is our organization's website. And we have familytechblog.com, which is where I'm writing and doing videos and podcasts to keep parents up to date on what's going on with social media and the tech world their kids are growing up in.
Well, not that any of us have this issue with tech or any of our kids, but it is only just changing the world we live in. But this coming month, May, is International Screen Free Week. I think that's early in the month. But Michael, it is good having you with us.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here. And yeah, Screen Free Week is coming up. We're actually doing some community events that we're sponsoring. We're doing a skate night at a skating rink and a bowling night and a field day out at the park. So it's going to be pretty cool to put away the phones and unplug for a little bit and spend some time just hanging out.
Well, tell us how you got into this tech thing.
Sure. Because Family kind of started just helping parents just better understand the responsibility they had for discipleship in their homes and raising their kids in the way that they should go. And then I kind of naturally took the path towards tech safety because that seemed to be the most common question I got from families was, hey, my kids are on Instagram always or Twitter, or my son just wants to play video games nonstop. You know, what advice do you have? And so I'm kind of a nerd already, so it made sense to kind of use that to incorporate into what our ministry was doing. And now it's kind of all we do. I mean, we just focus on helping educate parents. Our mission statement is protecting children and teenagers by bridging the technology gap between them and their parents. So that's all we do, writing and researching and speaking, doing workshops and things like that.
That's very cool. And hey, I was over at your website and I was looking around things, and you've got a couple different, you know, headings. And I know that, you know, I'm out on the road a lot and getting ready to go to Massachusetts today. And, you know, the question that I'm asked, in fact, I was asked this last week, is, you know, that primarily revolves around video gaming. You know, it's how do I get control of that? Because maybe we've sunk so low that we don't even care that our kids are on their phones 24/7, you know, or whatever, which bothers me. And I'm like a technology Nazi. I'm telling my kids, you know, hey, you need to put your phone away. You need to put your phone away. You need to put your phone away. For example, I just got had a guy just ask this past weekend. He came up and, you know, he talked for a while, and then it's like he got serious and he said, so what about this Fortnite thing? He goes, I mean, how do you get control of that? And maybe since you are a tech guy, maybe you can tell us a little bit about Fortnite and what's the big deal with this?
Sure. Yeah. Fortnite. I was kind of forced into writing an article about Fortnite because I was getting so many questions about it. It's a first person shooter game, and it's something they call it's massively multiplayer online. But it's what they call a battle royale. So it's for those of you who are just don't understand, it's you all parachute onto an island and you have no weapons at all. You find all the weapons that you can and you use them to eliminate player after player, and the last man standing or last team standing wins. And in the process, you know, you can, in Fortnite at least, you can use a pickaxe to tear down trees and buildings and use those materials to build things. And it's not necessarily, they do have a creative mode, but typically the building is just building in the middle of combat. You have to build these things to protect you while you're fighting the other players to kind of give you some cover. So that's the main thing of Fortnite. The thing that is attractive to Fortnite is that it's rated T for teen. It's not a rated mature game. And that's because there is no blood or gore in it at all. When you get shot, you dissolve into this like blue ghost looking thing and just kind of disappear. And it's very cartoony looking. There's not a lot of realism in it. It focuses on the dances, what they call emotes and things like that. And it even incorporates some of your favorite like sports teams. And now they're about to release for the new Avengers movie, some of the Avengers outfits and stuff. And it's free. That's the other big appealing thing. It's a free game that you can play online with as many people as you want. And the thing that makes it a little bit of an issue for parents is that you can play with whoever online. You can play with strangers, or you can play with friends or whatever, and make friends strangers eventually if you desire to. And there's not a lot of way to turn that off, you know, at least with a password. So if your kid wants to do it, they will and they can. Right. So and then there's the time. It's just a major time consumer, because you sit down to play and it takes about, if you're any good, which I'm not, but if you were any good, it takes a good 20 minutes to 30 to complete a session, one round. And then, but you've only played one round, and then you want to play again, and then you want to play again. And before you know it, kids have spent 4 to 6 hours playing Fortnite, or 12 on a Saturday, you know, and they've only done six, or, you know, they played 12 hours. They've only done 20 or so rounds with their friends, and they're like, what? I'm not done yet. I want to keep playing. Right. So, and they feel like they're letting their friends down. So it can be a real time consumer, and it can be a struggle for parents to tell their kids, hey, you got to have a limit, you know? And so it's tough, But
and do you think the game designers are getting smarter in that? I mean, in the fact that, you know, it used to be, I used to think of video games as, you know, some guy with a hoodie pulled over his head, you know, with his earphones on and just, you know, filled with vulgar images and, you know, blasting away and blood everywhere. And, you know, kind of like it was done down in a basement, you know, in the dark. And now, you know, with maybe because I am like old school. I mean, you know, I'm like Space Invaders and then I dropped off the face of the planet. But like with Minecraft, parents would say to me, yeah, but it's not really bad. You know, it's not bad. And as though maybe that was the reason that it was OK. And really, when Minecraft came out, my kids didn't play, you know, only because I didn't like it because of everybody was talking about it. Everybody was being consumed by it. And I thought there's something in this that has, you know, is, you know, like a drug. It's easy to become addicted to. And I see that same thing kind of happening with, you know, with this, you know, Clash of Clans. I mean, kids would talk about that and that same kind of playing with friends.
Right.
And really, I think it's thrown a lot of us parents for a loop. And I was talking to my son yesterday, and my oldest son, he's married, has two children, and he likes to play Fortnite, but he plays it with his brothers and he plays it with a friend or two. You know, so again, it sounds pretty safe. But when does it, and I'm going to ask him this too, when does it cross the line? You know, when should a parent say, okay, you know, that's fun to play. Like, I know, I get it. You know, one kid likes to play basketball because he's good at basketball. This kid's not good at basketball. So he likes playing things that he's good at. When is it okay? And when does it cross a line? And this says, hey, we need to reel this in.
It's interesting because the World Health Organization has actually called gaming addiction a diagnosable condition now. Mm. And so it's something that they actually apply the same kind of ideas towards gaming as they do any addiction. If it's affecting things you do in real life, if you're losing friendships and relationships, if you're struggling in school, if you're quitting stuff just because you just would rather play video games, things like that are when, you know, you need to pay attention, and parents especially need to pay attention and say, hey, these are red flags for us. And with Minecraft, it was the issue with Minecraft was that time consuming issue, because Minecraft doesn't end. That game, it has a final ending, but it didn't start out that way. You started out just completely open world, just building. And so, like, our kids, we finally got an Xbox last Christmas. My son bought it himself after making some money, and we got Minecraft on that. We give them 30 minutes a day. It's set up in the controls of the Xbox so that they don't even have to talk to us about it. It's just when the time is up, that the Xbox kicks them off and they're done. You know, they each have their own account or profile to do that. We don't have it connected to the internet. They can't play with strangers. So there's ways to do it to limit them. And what's hard is I'm blessed because my oldest is only 11, and I'm starting off this whole process of learning how to help them learn gaming in a healthy way while they're young. But some of us, some parents didn't have that privilege to go that, you know, their kids were older and felt like they could do whatever they wanted. And parents had a hard time realizing, oh, wait, this might be something that I need to help my kids understand is there's a safer way to do this. And parents had to play catch up, you know, in that. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm blessed that I am able to start that way. But even with kids who are older, what I know experts are saying is to pay more attention to what their life looks like when they're not gaming than you do how much time they spend gaming, you know. And I talked to people, I was a youth pastor for years, and I have a few students who part of how they make their living is gaming, you know, whether they're streaming online or they're testing games for these developers who make games. And I ask them, I say, hey, what do you do to make sure that what was always your hobby that is now your job doesn't just consume your life? And, you know, they say we have to build in intentional time to be doing something else. We take dogs for a walk, or we go out with our spouse and leave all the screens behind. And they literally, just like you do when you're younger, they have to be intentional about not gaming so that it doesn't consume them, because it is something that can take away so much of their time. And those that are like streaming online so people can watch them play games, because that's a major industry now. Actually, the number one thing kids say they want to be when they grow up now is a YouTuber.
I know.
And so yeah, like when kids are playing, when you're doing that to stream and play your games online for people to watch you, literally every minute you sit playing is more money in your pocket. So it's easy to go, man, I'm going to do a 14-hour stream today and just play games for 14 hours, because every 5 minutes I get another donation. And when I log off, the donations stop, you know? And so they have to be intentional. And so, you know, it's that looking at what time looks like when you're not gaming. What are you doing? Are you just thinking about gaming? Are you reading books about the games you play? Are you only talking about to your friends about the game that you're playing, what you're going to do the next time you play it? Okay. Are you being obsessive? And that's when you need to step in.
So like you said, are you being obsessive? Okay. So how about for a little kid, you know, like what would you think about a kid who says, you know, I'm watching someone else play a game. I mean, are you okay with that? Do you think that does that start habits? I don't know. I'm just asking.
I think first of all, the majority of the streamers out there who you can watch play games are not kid friendly, first of all.
Right.
And that's a vast majority. It's few and far between to find a family friendly Let's Play or gaming stream channel. They exist, but it's not a ton. And, you know, I know my kids, we're very strict about the amount of time they get to play games. And when they're not playing games, if they are consumed by it in an unhealthy way, you know, we pull the plug on that for a while and make them take a break. And that includes if they're wanting to watch other people play. We will turn on somebody playing Minecraft or something to learn a recipe to how to build something or whatever it is, and watch that section of a video here and there after I've seen it first to make sure they're, you know, they stay mm-hmm. family friendly. And then I'll show my kids, oh, this is how you make the golden armor. You have to have this and this and this, and then you can put it all together. So then they know, you know, or I'll look it up and we'll talk about it that way. But it's usually to meet a certain goal. It's not just their mindless entertainment is just sitting watching people play video games all the time.
So what would you tell a dad? I mean, he wrote me today and he said, you know, my 9-year-old, he's been playing, I don't know if he said Fortnite. I'll say just a video game. But he plays a lot, but he's been crying a lot. And I say, why are you crying? He goes, and I don't know. You know, I don't know why I'm crying. And they decided they were going to just pull him away from it. And they have seen a difference. Is that something that you think? Because I'll see it in my kids. If they get this testy, well, you know, or if they're sneaking, you know, like they're back up on the iPad and they've got Clash of Clans back on because they wanted, you know, and they didn't ask me. That is not the way to win my heart, I'll tell you. You know, they don't get bonus points for that.
Yeah.
You know, what are some of those, maybe again in younger kids, and then we'll talk about in dads, but in younger kids, what might be, you know, would you have done the same thing if you thought your son was, you know, crying over these things or maybe just emotionally attached to this for no apparent reason?
Absolutely. I think that is the right thing to do. You know, they say some games, they increase that fight or flight response in your brain, mm-hmm. and it causes the same fight or flight response as you would if you were being threatened in real life, especially first person shooter games. And so it releases all this adrenaline in your body, and kids are going to handle that in different ways. Some of them get violent. Some of them lash out. Some of them just have attention problems or hyperactivity problems. Some kids, they might get emotional, you know, and that's just, they feel weird and they can't understand. When you're 9, like, you don't understand what's going on. You can't express yourself and say, you know what, I feel really uptight. I think these games are getting me uptight and I can't release it. And I would, if it were me, I would say, you are done with the video games for a while. And all the time you would have spent doing that, you're going to spend outside running around, releasing that energy. And we're going to talk a lot. We're going to talk a lot about what's going on, what you're feeling, what the, you know, why you like the games and get in their world a little bit to find out what it is they like about the game, what they feel like they're missing when they don't play. Cause some kids, especially as they get older with Fortnite or games like that, so even Minecraft, you've been playing with your friends, you're building something together. And when you're not playing, you feel bad because they're doing that without you. You're literally missing something because right. they're building things that you're not a part of, or they're going and fighting in these, you know, matches that you're not fighting in. And they make it worse, the game developers, because they do these events where it's like a concert or a rocket launch or whatever, or the new release of the new map. And if you're not on there to watch it, you know, you miss it. And you're gonna have to watch YouTube videos of it or just hear about it from friends. And that makes it harder on us parents to set the limits, because, man, if my kid's already spent, you know, 30 minutes a day this whole week playing video games, I'm not going to give him an extra hour to watch the rocket launch in Fortnite. That was a couple years ago they did that. But, you know, there's just things like that happen that make it harder. But I recommend, yeah, pulling the plug on that for a little bit, making them do something that exerts energy better, and having those conversations with them, talking to them about what they feel like they're missing out when they don't play.
In my house, man, the internet would suddenly break. Like, yeah. Sorry, kid, internet's broke. Go outside and play. And right. maybe just embrace the dark side of being a dad for a little while. It's kind of fun once in a while when you know, pull the Darth Vader move and said, go outside, son.
Yeah.
Internet's broke.
Your lack of outside time is disturbing.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Right. That's right. So what about like little kids? You know, I mean, or maybe I was saying little kids, but how about really small kids? Because I know that, you know, we were... you know, in this whole technology thing, I feel like we're weaning our kids on this technology, not just to play video games, but just to fill in all their time. So, you know, when you see like my granddaughter next door, Renly, you know, she's 2. I mean, she'll take that phone and hold it up to her mouth, and she knows how to talk to Siri. You know, she knows how to swipe the screen. She knows how to find things like Instagram. You know, are we stupid for, and again, I'm not saying for that those are bad, but are we training our kids to fill up their lives with stuff all the time? I mean, because we used to, you know, we used to just lay in bed when we wake up and we'd stretch and we'd think and we'd talk to, you know, maybe our spouse or we'd imagine. And now, you know, we pick up our phone and we check our email first thing, or we check our Facebook page, or we just look through our pictures. What do you think, Michael?
I think, yeah, I think one of the things that we're doing is that we're modeling that for them, where, you know, they're, especially our little bitty ones, they're just doing what they see us do. And if mom or dad is spending all our time looking at social media or listening to a podcast or music or whatever, and all they see is headphones in our ears or our eyes on the screen, and I'm talking to myself here, then, you know, our kids, that's what they're learning to do. That's the behavior they're seeing. It's also they're in their formative years when they're so young, it's easy for them to pick it up and catch on, you know, and they call our kids digital natives, and they call us digital immigrants because we've had to kind of adopt this digital world we live in as we've grown up. But our kids are growing up in the big middle of it. So it's just a part of their lives and always will be, barring any kind of electronics catastrophe. And so, you know,
I'm working on it. I'm working
okay,
on it.
Okay. You got the electromagnetic pulse ready to go.
I'm working on it.
Okay. But yeah, I think that, you know, our kids, as they're young, especially real young, experts say right now to wait until they're 2 before you give them much screen time at all. They're saying that even the preschool education stuff it's not really helpful until they're over 2 years old. And then they're saying under 10 years old to limit it to 2 hours a day maximum. And that's a lot that's a lot for us, I feel like. So our kids keep it under 2 hours still. Like I said, video games is only 30 minutes. And if they're using a device, it's usually to listen to something, not even watch or play something. We need to pay attention to what they're saying, because really this is like the first generation of kids that are growing up from baby to adult in this such a connected digital world. So we're finally seeing some results of research and some things to help us guide our kids the right way. And I think what's important is setting the boundaries while they're young, and then starting to have conversations with them as they get older about the healthy way to approach these things, and then modeling it for them, letting them see it in our own lives, and use, you know, the Apple's screen time or Family Link for Android or the app called Moment or something like that to keep track of how much time you're spending doing things, and setting goals for yourself to limit it to a certain amount. So they see you doing that and taking a healthy approach. And then hopefully they'll model that and do that too as they get older.
Well, and that's, we're going to just change the corner for, and as we are, we're kind of running out of time here. But you know, what really concerns me about all this is that our children are going to grow up to be dads one day, or boys are, and our daughters are going to be moms one day. And it's one thing to waste your time as a kid, you know, but it's another thing to waste your time as an adult. So let's talk to the dads right now, Michael, because, you know, I know it's a big issue for lots of dads. My kids, they were over at a friend's house a couple weeks ago, and I said, when I got there to pick them up, I said, oh, their dad was there. And he goes, yeah. I said, what was he doing? I didn't know if he was home from work. He said, oh, he just sat in his chair with a screen, you know, pulled up to his face playing video games the entire time. And I guess for this dad, I just can't even imagine it. Not because I think it's bad or I think he's worse than I am. I just don't, that's just not me. I would never, ever, ever, ever do that.
Right.
But I know a lot of dads struggle with this. You know, what do you say to a dad who maybe, as I was telling that little story, he kind of went, oh, yeah, that sounds familiar. What do you say to him?
Yeah, well, I think that it's important to set goals for yourself. I could be that dad very easily if I'm not careful. You know, I work from home. I work on my computer. I film and edit video and audio, and I write, and I prepare workshop talks and things like that. And it's like I sit at my computer in my home all day long. If I don't take the time to turn it off and go do something else with the kids, then I could and I would just sit and consume and consume and consume on my screen all day long. And what I found helpful is, first of all, actual help from some sort of digital means, whether it's a time limit or, you know, just a timer on your phone, or setting something like screen time to alert you. Because, yeah, you can put the password in and just keep going. But then if you set it to an hour, when it pops up and says you've spent an hour on there, you're going to go, oh, man, I can't believe I've spent so much time. This didn't feel like an hour. You know, that time is just gone now. And I have a yes rule pretty much. There's certain things that when my kids ask me, I just say yes. And if that means putting away my devices, putting away my computer, doesn't matter. I just say yes. Even in the middle of a work day, I'll just say yes and go do what they want. You know, we have family in town right now. The two cousins are staying in our home. They wanted to go play at the playground down the road. And I was in the big fat middle of writing an article, but you know what? It's a nice day. Drop it and let's go. And I hate playgrounds. They're all the same. What's the point? But, you know, you drop what you're doing, you go do what they want to do, and just spend the time. And it's helped that my 11-year-old seems to have grown up so fast. And I'm like, I got three more kids that are younger. And if I spend all my time looking at my computer, I'm going to miss it, you know? Mm. And it's crazy, but it's impacted me. And it does help too, having a wife who is a book snob. She cannot imagine spending all your time looking at a screen. So,
and she reminds you of that occasionally.
Absolutely. A lot.
You know, really. And that's a pretty good sounding board. I mean, cause I'll hear, you know, I think if our wives say, are you doing that again? Because right. I have wives who come up to me and they're frustrated. They don't know what to do, you know? Yeah. And when they bring it up with us, we get defensive and, you know, we tell them all the reasons why they're wrong, why they're, you know, but if your wife says to you, you're always on it, to her, it feels like you're always on it. And right. Really, we need to do something about that. Well, Michael, we're out of time, but why don't you, and again, we're going to have to do this more often.
Great.
Because I think the dads and everybody, this is where we're at. But they can come and they can learn more from you right now. They can go to your website. Tell us about your website. And I see, you know, you've got a podcast, you've got articles, you've got product reviews, tutorials, I assume, how to use some of this safety nets that we can put on our devices. Where can they find you?
Yeah, if you go to becausefamily.org is our website. If you want to look at how, if you do events with families or a church or whatever, and you're looking at bookings and stuff, we do that. Then if you want to just learn about your family and yourself and how to protect your family or limit your screen time, that's familytechblog.com. And that's where the podcast is. There's a video and a podcast with every article because we're trying to reach everybody in whatever way they're going to consume it. And so and usually 2 to 3 articles a week concerning social media, internet safety, and just what's going on in the digital world. And so that's how you can find me and our contact information. So,
or I assume you say you're a sci-fi geek. What are you going to be doing tomorrow night where they might be able to find you?
Well, if you want to, if you would like to try to find me at the IMAX theater.
Yes, I knew it. You're going to be there.
Endgame, baby.
Yes. Are you going to be having your gauntlet on your left hand or whatever? Do you go in disguise?
I might just wear the Iron Man mask. We'll see.
Well, I know all my kids, I'm going to be in Massachusetts and all my boys are going to be there. And yeah, they've been talking about it for.
Of course.
So,
of
okay. Course. Well,
we all have.
I hope you might cry, I hear. So we'll see. We'll see. Okay. Well, Michael, thanks for joining us. Have a great time tomorrow night and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Todd, I was going to tell you something that I've noticed in my kids that's different from our generation, because I'm teaching my son to drive now. Mm-hmm. And I noticed this somewhat with Abby, but I'm noticing it a lot with Luke, that he doesn't know anything about driving. And I figured out it's because when I was growing up, there was nothing to do in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could stare at the lines going by on the road when we're on a long trip, you know. You could imagine, maybe read. I couldn't read in the car because it always made me car sick. So, like, I'd just pay attention to what my dad was doing driving the car. I knew what the gear shifts were and where they went. I knew where the, you know, turn signals and windshield wipers were. I knew which was in the brake and which one was the gas. My son knows none of that.
Wow.
I put him in the car to drive for the first time, and I'm like, do you know which one's the brake and which one's the gas? And he's like, no. I'm like, dude, have you not seen me drive for
maybe
the last
your
15
kids
years?
Are just stupid. They're stupider than we are.
Thanks a lot.
You know, that's an interesting observation.
I mean, they're on their phones on stuff all the time in the car. It's like, dude, maybe I should stop them from doing that, but you know.
You know, and really, and that's is very interesting. And it is okay for us dads to say, hey, you need to be off your phone for now. You know, or you have to stare out the window just like, and I've had my kids say, so what do you want me to do? Just stare at the back of your head? And I'm like, yes, that's what I want you to do. And maybe, you know, we're not going to go back. We're not going back to that, whatever, the dark ages that we grew up in that we all love so much. But maybe we can give them a little glimpse of that. Well, Scott, we're out of time. Why don't, you know, maybe you consider, Dad, that screen-free week that's coming up here in May. Maybe take the plunge. And I'm just going to use it to maybe remind me that I need to not let my guard down, you know. And, Dad, if we were talking and it sounded like you, that maybe you're the one struggling, you're not alone. You know, it is a big deal. But why don't you check out their website, becausefamily.org, and do it, you know, because you have to. And I'll just encourage you all to enjoy this wonderful next weekend. I mean, it's sunny, it's warm. Do something outside. And they're not going to do it unless you make them. So you make them. You say, hey, everybody, we're going to go out and do whatever. And you need to do it because you did that.
And that's our show for this week, Dads. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, you can email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.